Mr. Secretary, I believe we have quorum. If you would like to take roll.
Grace Aaron?
Here.
Grace Aaron, present. Ken Aaron?
Here.
Ken Aaron, present. Jonathan Alexander? Jonathan,
I did not see an excused absence for him.
He requested it right away, but I got an email about 10 o'clock or 9:30.
Okay, I must have missed that.
Sandy Childs.
Yeah.
Sandy Childs, present. Roberta Eidman requested an excused absence. Stephen Frantz.
Here.
Stephen Frantz, present. Jamie Gomez.
Here.
Jamie Gomez, present. Jan Goodman.
Present.
Jan Goodman, present. Stephen Kaiser.
Here.
Stephen Kaiser, present. Doug Kriegel. Doug Kriegel?
No, Doug Kriegel was replaced.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because he's running for political office.
Oh, I'm missing. I have an old
he's
list.
He's with Rob Makeham.
Yeah, let me. Sorry.
Yeah,
Rob Makeham?
Yeah, I'm here.
I apologize. Maggie LaPique has an excused absence. Ali Lexa has an excused absence. Barbara Marbach?
Present.
Barbara Marbach, present. Ishmael Parra?
Here.
Ishmael Parra, present. Reza Poor?
Here.
Reza Poor, present. Stephen Pride?
Here.
Steve Pride, present. Dorothy Reich? Yeah. Dorothy Reich, present. Myla Reason?
Over here.
Myla Reason, present. Lawrence Reyes?
He's back in the car. Give me right.
Okay. Mansoor Sabah. Mansoor Sabah, present. Lance Simmons.
Here.
Lance Simmons, present. Fernando Velasquez. Presente. Fernando Velasquez, present. Lisa Wong.
On the other way.
Okay, so we have Lawrence Reyes and Lisa Wong reportedly on their way. Mr. Chairman, we have, let me just scroll down. We have quorum and can start the meeting.
Very good. This is Jamie Gomez, chair of the KPFK Local Station Board, May 20th, 2018. We are starting the meeting. The meeting is called to order. Is there a motion to approve the excused absence request?
So be it.
So moved. Are there any objections to excusing the excused absence requests?
You should have objections. Here. You should have high objections.
Shh. Audience, please be respectful. Okay. What is your point of information, Ms. Reason?
I'm wondering, I have a recommendation with respect to the issue of excused absences, and I'm wondering when it would be appropriate for me to have a moment to put that to the committee.
Deliberate.
Probably when we move to approve the agenda.
Okay, thank you.
You could request that be placed on the agenda. Are there any objections to the excused absence requests?
Question, I guess.
Mr. Pride.
My attendance has not been perfect, but going forward, if I'm not sick or whatever, can I use it's a waste of time as an excuse that someone has done this week?
What was the question?
Someone used an excuse of it's a waste of time this week. Can I use that going forward if I'm not sick and I just don't feel like doing it?
You may.
Thank you.
Are there any other excused absence requests? Are no excused absence requests, so excused absences are here.
No objections
no.
to.
Are there any excused absence objections? Objections to the excused absences.
Therefore,
hearing none.
Why don't you say that?
Excused absences are hereby excused. Thank you. Okay. We have a draft agenda. Ms. Reason, you wanted to modify the agenda?
I would like to have about 1 minute to talk about the issue of excused absences.
Can you use the mic?
And I'm not exactly sure.
Use the mic.
Could you hand me that mic?
thank you.
So you want to add a discussion?
I would like to have about 1 minute personally to offer a suggestion about how to deal with excused absences. And so I'm wondering, others may want to discuss it as well, and I'm wondering where we would place that in the agenda.
Well, I think it's going to take more than 1 minute, but is anyone...
Okay,
hold on. I got the floor. Thank you. Is there anyone opposed to discussing excused absences on item E of opening business? Okay, hearing no objections, we're going to add that to the agenda as item E, a discussion of excused absences. I would also, there has also been a request to discuss possibly moving the date of our next meeting because it falls on Father's Day. Is there any objection to making that item F of opening business? Hearing none, we will make that item F of opening business. Mr. Secretary, please note that Ms. Lisa Wong has arrived. I am also going to suggest on the proposed agenda before moving to approve the agenda. One moment. Under motion number one on the agenda, where it states, as this is in the middle of the fiscal year, I would propose removing, as this is in the middle of the fiscal year, and just say the KPFK Finance Committee asked that the LSB approve.
What is the motion?
Okay. Look at motion number one.
Yeah.
In the middle of motion number one, second sentence, I believe, it says, as this is in the middle of the fiscal year.
Right.
I would propose striking that as this is in the middle of the fiscal year. I find it extraneous.
Well, I can mode it. Has the agenda been approved?
I'm asking that we strike that before we...
I disagree. It'll be stricken when we deal with the motion. When we get to it. Because I'll explain why it's stated there.
I just find it extraneous, but if you would like to leave it in there, I have no problems with that.
I'll motivate.
Well, we can discuss the later point.
Yeah, we get to motion.
We can take the time to do that, sure. Is there a motion to approve the proposed agenda?
I move.
Second.
Any objections to approving the proposed agenda?
Yeah, there's no new business. Is there new business here?
The motion.
So
Do you have an item of new business that you would like to have placed on the agenda?
I might. So can we just add new business?
Well, if you would like to add that piece of new business on there, can you state what you would like the new business to be?
Discuss with Milo, but let's just say that we should always have new business on the agenda, as that's what all organizations do. There's always new business. If nobody has any new business, then you don't have to have it.
Okay, so we don't have it. Do you have anything that you'd like to add for new business?
I would like to add new business.
Okay, what would you like? Okay, we have no new business.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's a reasonable request to at least have new business on the agenda,
right.
And then if there is no new business, you adjourn. But it there should be a category for it. So I would move that we include in number six new business.
Okay, so number six after closing business, we're going to do new business?
No, it should be number five.
I mean, I'm all for that. I could do that.
It should be number five, and number six should be closing business.
Exactly. Between number five and number six?
No, number four and number five.
Well, it should be new number five.
And who's on first?
I'll amend my motion. To make a new number five, new business.
Okay, so we propose to move closing business to number six and make number five new business. Does anyone object to that? Hearing no objections, it is so.
Okay. So now I need to pray.
Okay.
Are there any objections to approving the... well, if we have new business, it seems to me like we should have something under new business.
No.
Just have the category of new business, but there's nothing on the agenda for new business. So why have new business if there's nothing under
there? Point of information.
Lost the motion. Can we just move on?
Point of information.
Done.
Yes.
Yes. Under Robert's rules, new business can occur at any time during the proceedings of the meeting. So at any time, someone may wish to introduce new business. Whether it is taken up or not is another point. But it should be a category that's always included as part of a regular agenda.
And that was the motion that was made.
Ms. Aaron.
Okay. Part of the standard agenda in most Robert's Rules books, at the end of the agenda was old business followed by new business. That's the standard in every agenda. It was changed to unfinished business followed by new business. So that gives sort of a discipline that things that are not finished get done first, and then if there's new business, it's at the very end. So it's just a boilerplate Robert's Rules agenda format.
And,
Ms. Goodman.
The point of having a new business item on the agenda is for anyone to be able to bring up new business who is not part of the planning committee or any committee who is just a member of the body. And it does not have to be pre-planned or pre-approved. If people don't want to take it up, they don't take it up. But this is so that anybody can bring up new business, and that's why it's on, according to Robert's rules, always. And that is why, I'm sorry, do I need to repeat what I said before?
You said it already.
Okay, and that's why it's on there, and I don't think that it's appropriate to require people to have state what the new business is before that time, because it's open to anybody. And even if Dorothy said, I want to bring up the fact that the sky is blue and we need to change it to purple, that wouldn't stop somebody else from saying, we need to do this or that or the other at the station.
Thank you for the clarification, Ms. Goodman. Does anyone object to approving the agenda as amended? Hearing no objections, it's so approved.
All right.
We already excused. Mm-hmm. I took excused absences out of order, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Can I have a motion? Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the minutes from last month? Are there any objections to approving the minutes from last month? Hearing none, the minutes are hereby approved. Mr. Secretary, please note that Mr. Lawrence Reyes has arrived and joined the body. Okay, we have an item on the agenda to discuss excused absences. Ms. Reason, please take the floor.
As many of you know, there has been a lot of contention about excused absences, and what I would like to propose is that we form a task force. It would probably be best... can someone turn this mic down? It's just really hot. It's so hot.
It's fine.
At any rate, just relax, okay?
Hold a couple of ways, maybe.
I
keep talking, okay. And I'll figure out which one you are.
All right. I would like to, but there's so many distractions now. Okay, so what I would like to propose is that we have a task force to create a set of rules rather than singling out and saying, well, we're going to object to one person because they said the sky was blue and not pink or whatever, that person doesn't get an excused absence. Rather, we should have a standard procedure. We should have a standard set of rules by which absences are excused or not excused, but it should not be on a personal basis. And I'd like to see a task force formed to put together such a rule.
It's about time.
Okay, I see we have a stack, so it seems like this item is going to take a little bit more than 1 minute. I have Lance and Steve Kaiser, and would anyone else like to be on the stack? Ms. Aaron and Mr. Velasquez, and Ms. Wright. Okay, so we'll start out with Mr. Lance Simmons.
Mr. Chairman, does there exist now protocols for what constitutes an excused absence?
Yes.
So what's this one?
I'm asking the chairman.
I again encourage the audience to be respectful of this body and to be respectful of the chair.
Every month, this
excuse me, audience, it is not your turn. So if you could please be quiet, audience, thank you. We love you, Bella. Let's be respectful of the audience, okay? Just as we ask them to be respectful of us, we should be respectful of them. So, basically, as Mr. Pride so succinctly pointed out earlier, we had one person ask for an excused absence today because they felt it was a waste of their time. And he said, can I do that also? And the response was, yes, sure. If that's what you want to do, go ahead. So at this point, I'm not going to say that there is specific requirements for requesting an excused absence. If the body chooses to approve the excused absence request, then it is so.
So
if we can add Mr. Reyes under the statute.
So, Mr. Chairman, just to continue. So the answer to my question is no?
No, correct. That is not wrong. That
excuse
is
me,
wrong.
Audience, be quiet.
That is wrong.
Excuse me, audience, be quiet. Thank you. I'm sorry, who's it? Steve Kaiser.
Go ahead, Dinah.
No, I said you are correct.
So there are no protocols to determine what is an excused or an unexcused absence.
That is incorrect.
No, I didn't say that there were no protocols.
No,
that wasn't the question. The question
that
is.
The question.
No, if you read back.
Okay. Let me speak for myself, and then. I normally don't like to have back and forth.
You're not addressing the question.
Excuse me, Bella, again, I'm going to ask you to please be quiet. I would use it in stronger terms, but I try to be polite. Okay? So just please be quiet. Okay. My understanding of your original question, Lance, and because this is an important question, so we need to devote as much time to it as possible, right? Okay. Is that you asked, what are the criteria for asking an excused absence?
No. Is there a protocol?
The protocol.
Not for asking, for the protocol.
Hold on. Thank you. If I need any help, I'll ask for it. Okay? The protocol, and I think I answered that, is that the excused absence request is approved by this body. So that is the protocol. So in the past, the protocol has been for this body to approve the excused absence request.
Not every time. There is a protocol. Three.
Audience, please, shut up. That's a stronger form of be quiet, okay? So please, be quiet. So please, be quiet. We're not talking. You will have your choice. You will have your turn. Yes, thank you. I'm sorry, who's next here? Aaron? Are you all done, Les?
Yeah, that answers my question.
Okay, Steve.
Well, since I've been here, there's never been a situation we haven't approved an absence request like that. So it doesn't seem like we've got any real criteria for not granting it. And this became a focus last time because it seemed like there were some people that really had no intention of coming to the meetings anymore. So at some point, I think it's appropriate that we open it up that other people can join the board who at least will come and be a part of it. But I don't think we have any criteria right now for not granting that. And what Steve alluded to he was alluding to Maggie, and she's just saying that she was up at the station and there's insufficient people to man the phones up there, and she was going to stay there with her son to answer the phones, and then she slid in there that she doesn't think we're going to be accomplishing much. But the real issue is for her was that. And then also Jonathan at the last moment at 10 till 10 put in a request because he has to be up at the station to put in some kind of software that needs to be up and operating by tomorrow. So those seem like legitimate reasons for not coming. But if we got people that are just not going to come anymore, then it's our responsibility to let other people join the board who at least will come to the meetings.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm guessing that we're past our 15 minutes for this item on the agenda. But we will attempt to listen to the remaining people on the stack. Ms. Aaron.
Can
we make a motion? Okay.
Excuse me, you're out of order. Myla. Let Grace speak, please.
Grace Aaron has the floor.
All right. This issue should be...
I'm not hearing you on the microphone.
Okay. This issue... Are you hearing me? This issue should be taken up in the governance committee.
No, it should not.
Be quiet, audience.
And then a motion can be discussed and crafted in the governance committee and brought back to this body. It's really not proper. I mean, it's more efficient to have this taken up in the governance committee.
I
move that we refer this issue to the KPFK governance committee.
Second. Is there anyone that objects to that motion? Mr. Reyes and Mr. Velasquez and Mr. Kaiser. Let's see, who's next? Fernando. Since you objected and you're next on the staff, please go ahead.
We would like to think that everyone here was elected because he or she had intention of serving the board to be here to take care of business. And when someone chooses to ask for an abstention, for an excused absence, it is a compelling reason that we don't have to demand that Jonathan has to do some software here or someone is out of town. We understand this is a compelling reason, and we ought to understand that because we are civilized people, right? So the question is, how often can we use this right? And that ought to be the part of the protocol.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Velasquez. Okay. Ms. Wright, you have the floor.
Can you pass the microphone to us? Thank
you. I understand this is all about my absences, and people who know me, and I've written to you several times when I've asked for the absences, I was sick. In fact, I'm still sick, and I had to take a pill that made it dangerous for me to drive here today to make it here because I'm sick. And so I would hope that illness will not count towards whatever you decide. If someone is sick, they're sick.
Thank you, Ms. Rankin. It isn't just about you, and I know that you have been ill, so I respect that. Okay. Mr. Reyes.
Yeah, so for Lance's question, and for those of you who have an idea of what the bylaws are, there are sections in the bylaws that does provide us with a protocol and does provide us with a sort of stated policy as to in regards to what when somebody could request an excused absence or somebody cannot request an excused absence. And then the policy of 3 consecutive unexcused absences. Unexcused absences is also in effect. It's obvious that this is not working. Even the section in the bylaws is not working in regards to being able to police ourselves in being good board members or being members in good attendance. So I would support Mala's motion that a work group be created, because this has been to the governance committee before.
Right.
I don't want to be a revisionist or anything like that. But Steve, John Gary knows that we crafted quite a few policies in regards to trying to develop a a fair and just protocol for excused absences. And this isn't working, so we need to do something. And I don't think referring it to a governance committee, I think this is a specialty kind of situation that needs to be addressed as such,
right,
as some kind of specialty where a lot of us could get together and hopefully fair-minded people without partisan commitments or anything like that and craft something that's fair and just for everybody.
I second that.
Okay, I think that
the
agenda... I'm sorry?
We already passed the motion to send it to the government.
He supports that motion.
There was a...
I mean, no. No, he doesn't.
We're discussing the motion.
We can't discuss it. We already passed.
No, we didn't vote on it.
We didn't make a motion. It was just suggested upon. Hold on. We went through the stack already. I think that Mr. Reyes was talking about a motion from Myla to create a task force to discuss this important issue.
Right, that's what I was
point of order.
There was no such motion. It was not seconded. It was a suggestion on the part of Myla.
Thank you.
I made a formal
motion to refer this subject to the governance committee. It was seconded, and we were voting on it.
Okay.
And you asked if there was any objections, and Lawrence had an objection.
Which is why is the wrong
thing. Excuse me. Thank you, Bella. Excuse me, Bella. I made a mistake.
Yeah.
To err is human. To forgive is divine. Thank you. Mr. Secretary. Let's take a vote on Ms. Aaron's motion to refer this matter to governance.
Okay. All those in favor?
Vote no.
All those in favor of referring this to the governance committee, please raise your hands and keep them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All those opposed, please raise your hands and keep them up. 1, 2, 3. All those abstaining, please raise your hands a little higher. 1, 2, 3. Mr. Chairman, the vote passes 13-3 with 3 abstaining.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next item of business is to discuss the meeting date for next month. There was a suggestion that because of Father's Day, we may want to move the meeting depending on availability of the Peace Center. Is anyone opposed to moving the date of next month's meeting to June 10th or June 24th? Instead of June 17th. Did I get my dates correct there?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Pride?
I'm opposed.
Okay. So you prefer to keep it, you prefer to keep
when
it?
When I came back to the board, one of the reasons it's supposed you were moving, you have to be at different locations. So sometimes it would take me 3 hours on a bus to get here. But now suddenly we just stopped without even doing it here every time. What happened? Easier for the West Side people, yes, I get that. Well, they won't say the West Side, yeah.
Look, we're not talking about change of location, we're talking about change of date.
Well, I'm not talking about change of location, we no longer decide on a location, it's always just the default here now. When was that decided? Okay, never mind then, I just don't know.
You should have realized that
okay.
When you were
right. Is there, so.
It was broken when I came back.
Except
because they're
pretty
good,
they're
brown skin.
So,
that's part of it, too.
Yes, Ms.
Reason,
your point of information.
I'm wondering whether the suggestion is that based on availability of this venue, that we either move it to the 10th or the 24th. And
the
that,
date.
And that we would have, if we have a preference, if it's available on both dates, what our preference is. Otherwise, we would go with the date that it's available if it happens to be available on either of those dates.
Okay. In the past, we had...
Okay.
I want to say, based on past practices, that the preferred date would be the 24th, and if not available on the 24th, to meet on the 10th. So if we could vote on if the first of all, it's do we want to continue meeting on the 3rd, and if not, would it be okay to meet on the 24th, and if the 24th is not available, on the 10th? Does that sound logical?
Yeah, it sounds logical.
Sounds good.
Excuse me.
Okay. Yes, Jan?
I don't know if it's appropriate. I'm sorry.
You turned down the alarm, is what it is.
I don't know if it's appropriate at this time or not, but if we have our meetings on the second Tuesday of the month, we will have less second Sunday of the month. We would have much fewer interferences with holidays and whatnot. And
Mother's Day is the second Sunday.
Well, I know, but you don't get a problem with Christmas. You don't get a problem with Thanksgiving, Father's Day. So I don't know if now is the time, but since we're talking about moving it to a different day, maybe we should consider whether or not this is a good time to talk about it, or it could be, I don't mind it being referred to the governance committee to discuss that possibility, or to the body.
Mr. Kaiser.
So I would suggest that the second.
If I may suggest, maybe
the preference would be for the second Sunday of the month.
And I know suggest that we actually take a vote for the 10th, for the 17th, or the 24th to see what the body prefers, the 10th, or the 17th, or the 24th. That might give us a good idea about where people want to meet this particular month.
Let's do this. Let's take a vote. If I may, let's take a vote on what the body feels about moving it from the 3rd, depending on availability first. And if the majority want to stay here on the 3rd Sunday, then it's a moot point. But if the majority are okay moving to an alternate date, then we can vote on the 2nd or the 4th.
Well, I mean,
that way we can do it.
They prefer to be here on the 3rd, but they'll acquiesce to meeting on the 4th or the 2nd Sunday.
So let's vote on the 3rd first.
But if you do my suggestion, you have an idea of the preference for those days.
I prefer not to do a three-way vote.
All right. I'd prefer to do two separate votes.
All right.
Do you want to hear
so this? This is exactly what? Move so, to so the 24th?
No, this would be to either meet on the 3rd, the 17th,
the
10th. Or, no, we're regularly scheduled to meet on the 17th. So this would be to maintain meeting on the 17th or to move it to an alternate date depending on availability.
Shall we vote?
Yes, Mr. Secretary, if we can take that vote.
All those in favor of maintaining the date of June 17th, Father's Day, for next month, please raise your hand and keep them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All those opposed to meeting on the 17th, Father's Day next month, please raise your hands.
No. All those opposed.
All those opposed to meeting on the 17th next month. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Are you going to catch everyone? Okay, 3. All those abstaining? 1.
Okay, it's 9 now. I got it.
2, 3. I'm missing 3 people.
Did you get me?
I know.
You abstained? I missed you.
3 of them.
Oops. And Myla, you moved your vote to yes, keep it on.
She moved it from yes to no.
She moved from yes to no.
Let's not do it on Thursday.
Yes, let's not do it. So you.
She moved from yes to no.
So that means
so nine, three, and four.
And three. So we're still missing three people.
Down the end.
Yes.
Abstained.
You abstained. I thought I got that.
Did you get me abstaining?
Ken, would you raise your hands if you abstained and raise them really high and let me see them? One, two, three, four, five. Okay, I'm still missing two people.
Four.
All right. Let's. Can we? All those in favor keeping it on the 17th, please raise your hands high and keep them up. Keeping it on the 17th. One, two, three, four.
Keep it on the 17th.
Keep it on Father's Day. Okay. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Okay, that's exactly the same. All those opposed to keeping it on Father's Day, please raise your hands up and keep them high. One, two, three, four. Okay, we've got one more picked up there. And all those abstaining. One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay, we picked up one more there, too. All right, so we are now good. We've got 19 people. Mr. Chairman, the motion to keep it on the 17th passes.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. We are now at the point in the agenda for public comments. If we can make a microphone available to the public. I have approximately 11:20. More like 11:20.
John? Yeah, you go.
Hello, my name is John, KPFK listener sponsor. When I was the secretary of the LSB, I did a search through the approved minutes to find if there were any policies regarding excused absences. I did find an approved policy from, I think, 2006, which merely required how the requests need to be communicated, not what would be acceptable as excused. Now, I drafted a report, and I forwarded it to one of the members of this board within the last month. There was also, well, a few years ago, this board did pass a more comprehensive excused absence policy and rescinded it at the very next meeting. Wow. All right? Now, I don't remember the reason for why it was rescinded so quickly. I assume that somebody else in the foundation said, well, this isn't going to work or something. But they passed a full descriptive policy and then just removed it within the space of a month. So that shows you that it's not so easy. Also, the minutes should clearly state, the minutes as they're drafted just includes who's present. You need to clearly state who has received an excused absence and who is absent. You can't just leave them from the document. They have to be named. Right. If you don't name, every person who's a member of the board has to be named in every draft of every minutes. You have no way of going through the record and finding out what the composition of the board is.
Right.
If you want to go back through the minutes and figure out who has three consecutive excused absences, you can't do it by just listing who's present because
it's here. John.
It's not documented.
Right here.
Okay, it needs to be at the top.
Well.
All right. Okay. Now, yeah. Okay. My excuse. Okay. My apology. So you have it. So good. Thank you.
Some of us continue to come into this board and speak of the same issue, but it has been very convenient for this board to continue to table the issue while it continues to plague the board, and you continue to table it. And now it's been referred to governance. Okay, at governance, there will be no... By the way, John, do you have still the language somewhere in cyberspace? Can you get to it? It would be wise if you can unearth that comprehensive protocol that was supposedly passed and then rescind it so that we do not spend time reinventing the wheel. Okay, I thought that Myla had a sensible suggestion. I thought that this board would be wise enough to follow that. The other question is, Mr. Simmons asked a very important, pertinent question. You, Secretary, were not able to address that. That's why I got frantic, because at this stage, you do not know that in the LSB bylaws exists, has always been present, a protocol. It can be strengthened, and this is chaotic, because many people ran for this board so they can serve the listeners, and they're not allowed to. Well, some people do not come because they don't want to, because they're in a clique, or they have some stupid BS excuse. Yes, Ms. Wong, you're one of those people. Okay.
Again, let's be respectful of
okay.
the board.
Let me talk to you. Let me talk to you about how we arrived at the 8-hour workday. It is so listed. The 8-hour workday was fought for in 1886. Most of you have no clue, where socialists, communists, and anarchists fought for an 8-hour workday in Chicago, 1886. You don't hear that on KPFK, do you? On May Day. Why is it the United States changed Labor Day from May Day, which is celebrated internationally, to September? So the worker would have no roots, no connectivity to the history. So read up on it. Is there in English and Spanish? This is a service, a public service information that needs to be on KPFK, but we don't hear that. And this is from the IWW, the International Workers of the World database. Okay, the other thing is, what endows Alan Minsky to preempt so many programs so that we can get a so-called dream team to raise $22,000 on the first day of fundraise, the recent fundraise, the dream team. I want to know what happened on the second day. I want to know what happened on the third, the fourth, and the fifth. And whoever is on the finance committee, I want that information here today. Thank you.
Okay.
Bella, thank you for your participation. I would, again, want to caution you to please be respectful of our members. Thank you, Bella. Alan Beek has the floor. Thank you, Mr. Beek. Please proceed.
I would comment to Bella that the Finance Committee has been asking for that information and can't get it. That's why we don't give it to you. On the subject of attendance at the meetings, I'm not going to ask anybody to make a motion, but I would like to point out that there is another aspect of that. The people get on the local station board and come to meetings of the board, which accomplish almost nothing. The work of the station gets done at the committee meetings, and people don't volunteer to get on the committees. For a year and a half now, the Finance Committee, which is probably the most important committee, has failed to get a membership. We do not yet have a formal membership of the Finance Committee. We have not elected officers. We do not have members in the committee who can vote to permit people who are not LSB members to be on the committee. You should pay attention when you run for the LSB to what committees you're going to serve on. Or are you going to serve at all? Or are you just going to come down here for a social Sunday every month?
Right. Well said.
I hope you'll pay some attention to it.
Beek, thank you very much for pointing that out, but yet this board majority fought to keep me away from every committee except the outreach committee. That's the irony. People that have been participating for so many years, so integrally involved in the affairs of KPFK, Pacifica KPFK, but yet so much time was spent filing motions to keep people like me away from the committees. So there you go. Dysfunctionality is what preceded. So again, I want you to get on the horn, elect, I don't care how you do it. Get Alan Minsky out of there. It's high noon. We need to get somebody that is connected to the community so we can get the issues of the community, so we can start bringing in people at the station from the community.
Thank you,
Bella. Mr. Gary?
Motion number three makes a reference to recent budget additions. So when the board discusses that motion, I'd like someone to explain what those additions are so the members of the public can understand what that means a little better.
Thank you.
And one of the motions here wants to hire consultants. I don't know. The history of consultants at this station, I don't know if it's an entirely good one. I don't know who the consultants are. They're usually, I don't know, you know, friends of a friend.
Right.
I don't know. If they can't name who the consultant is, then don't vote for it.
Thank you, Mr. Gary.
How much more time we have, Jimmy?
Oh, we have more time. We're keeping track over here. Anyone else from the public like to speak? Hearing no one else?
Please,
go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'm very privileged that we are only two or three people here. There's a reason for it. I want you to consider when you go vote in this primary. KPFK would not cover the issue. In 2010, Proposition 14 was passed, and KPFK refused to cover the importance of Proposition 14. So many people are uneducated. Proposition 14 made it more difficult still for third parties to challenge the Democrats and the Republicans, calling it the top two tier. People do not understand what the heck that is. So if you do not vote for the people that you feel understand the issues, should be in the public office, could be socialists, I urge you to consider that instead of continuing to vote for the two-party tier that continues to control the politics in this country and are dictatorial. So consider voting socialist. Look up your ballots. Anyone from the Peace and Freedom Party has been the only national California socialist electoral party since 1968. Consider that. Peace and Freedom candidates are there. But if they do not get enough support, guess what? They get dumped. They will not appear in the November ballot. And that's what Proposition 14 did. It made it even more difficult. So because they don't have the funds, they cannot compete, they will be dropped. And they can now participate in the national elections in November. That's what it's all about, disenfranchisement. So I'm here to educate you a little bit on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella. Anyone else from the public like to comment? Hearing no one, we are going to go on to our next item of business, which is the reports. We can hear from our directors. Who would like to go first, Ms. Goodman or Ms. Aaron?
Ms. Aaron.
Ms. Aaron?
Or Mansoor.
Or Mr. Sabat. Okay.
Well, all right, I sent you a report last night about what's been happening.
Mike? Yeah, we can hear.
Okay.
Should be on.
No, it's on. It's on? Okay. Can you hear? Okay, here we go. All right, I sent out a detailed report yesterday explaining everything that's been happening on the national board level, or a lot of what's been happening. And the main things are that we hired a highly qualified interim executive director and contracted with his firm, Livingston and Associates to search for a permanent executive director. And we also worked out a settlement with the Empire State Realty Trust, satisfying all debt to them, including the $1.8 million summary judgment against us, and ending the remainder of our contract with them, which would have continued until spring 2020. It's unclear how much money this is saving the foundation, but I would say that it's saving us at least $3 million. $2 million, $1.5 million just in the payments on the contract going forward, which we would have been obligated to. And also, the Empire State Realty Trust was able to charge us exorbitant interest and penalties on any arrearages, any money we owed them that we weren't paying. And also, we saved ourselves, I would say, $1 million in bankruptcy costs had we chosen to go into bankruptcy. So this settlement, which is not, I mean, it doesn't, it's not a magic solution. It has problems in that we had to take out a very large loan to complete this settlement. But nonetheless, it's really amazing that we were able to terminate our association with the Empire State Realty Trust. And this is a long report. The things that have been accomplished recently by the executive director implementing the wishes of the national board, sexual harassment training is now being done by all Pacifica employees. A professional review of our employee handbook is almost complete. The sale of the national board decided to sell one of the buildings we own in Berkeley. Hopefully that sale will be completed soon. It's in escrow now. We need that money. We needed that money to, as part of the settlement, paying off the settlement. The 2016 audit is close to completion. Requests for proposals for national election supervisors being circulated, and a number of very highly qualified candidates are already being reviewed by the interim executive director. So we will be having an election, local station board elections this year. A request for proposals for accounting services for short and long term for the CFO function has been circulated and is receiving significant responses. Just to get you up to speed, our chief financial officer resigned. He's remaining on for a limited amount of time just to complete the 2016 audit, which is close to completion. So we have had to find either a new CFO or an accounting firm who can take over the CFO functions. Tom was also instrumental in pushing through the Empire State Realty Trust settlement and the loans. So that's basically the news. I'll leave the rest. My report, which if anyone wants to give me their email address, if you don't have it, I will email it to you. It's basically public information. But I won't go into the rest of the report. Just wait for questions.
Oh, you sent it to already, Chris.
The LSP.
Thank you, Ms. Hara. Is this working?
Yes.
Okay. We're still on directors' reports. We're not ready for questions and answers. We'll take that after all the directors go. Ms. Goodman.
I just want to focus for a second on the an issue that people have asked me about, and I'll just briefly go over it, and that is that there's been a lot of concern about the fact that this new loan encumbers our station, and it also encumbers the tower that we broadcast from, and as well as KPFA's building and KPFT's building. And people are very concerned that, you know, how can we take a loan and encumber all those buildings? And I just wanted to clarify that those buildings were all already encumbered by the Empire State Building judgment, which had been recorded and which they could have seized at any point. So this was not a new encumbrance. It was just transferring it to an encumbrance that we had some control over. And I also wanted to clarify that the loan terms, we don't have to start paying back on that loan for 18 months. A month of that has already passed. but that gives us breathing room to restructure our fundraising. And I just want to make a side comment about the ability to fundraise and what we can do. There was if we're on the job and really focused on that. So there was during a special fund drive at WPFW, they were trying to raise money for a new antenna. And someone called in to donate a unspecified but large amount of money, and Tom Livingston got right on that and within a week had secured a $100,000 donation. And I think that there's been two bequests recently that have come in. And the point of me relaying this is that if we really take fundraising seriously and we have a hint that there is money and we go after it, we can often actually get it. And in large enough denominations that we should be able to secure I believe it's $3.2 million that we owe on this new loan. And it's just an important thing. And there are other, our new general manager has been really focusing on attempting to move a lot of our fundraising off of the airwaves, and so has our new interim executive director. So those are important ways that we can get this money. I also just want to report that the search for the new executive director is now well on its way. The advertising has been placed. We should be getting responses this month, but Livingston and Associates will be basically taking care of dealing with the responses and setting up interviews and so forth, with the personnel committee of the national board assisting them, so that all of that should make all of us happy, makes me happy. So I think that those are the highlights that I wanted to stress.
Thank you, Ms. Goodman.
If there's any questions later, you can ask.
Right. Mr. Sabat?
Can you give me two and eight?
Yeah, after the director's finished, we'll take questions.
I do want to echo what Grace and Jen had said about the executive director, Tom Livingston. In my years of being with Pacifica, actually this is the first time that I'm seeing a professional executive director that knows how to manage a business and radio stations and the network. So for those who took part to hire and bring Tom to this organization, we should really thank them. And he's one of those hands-on, and his hands in it's all the issues that we're dealing with. So hopefully we'll hire executive director as good as he is. Due to the loan that we have got, and let me echo again that getting a loan has prevented our bank accounts to be seized, our buildings to be taken over, and for us to and stopped us from imploding as well. And the tower, KPFK's tower, originally was part of the collateral, but due to the National Forestry, they disagreed with the request. So the antenna location and antenna tower still belongs to Pacifica, and nobody would take it, or it's not part of the collateral. So, and selling the Nakabun building is really helping us to pay the supporters loan and some of the other immediately needed financial for the other aspects that we are in. So I'm very hopeful that we are going to save Pacifica, and hopefully let it be a yin and yang situation, that this thing's going to make us to think a little bit differently and act differently about what the future of Pacifica should be, and move us to a direction that I hear from many people from across the nation that we want to be done with factionalization of dealing with Pacifica. So we want to be done with the factions and professionalizing Pacifica's management team, which I think we have moved with the right direction with hiring KPFK general manager Aniel Fields and